So happy to have our regular visit from the top dog, Hanford Dixon. Hanford, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Vic. Glad to be here. And, you know, I'm a little bit mad at you because you're all tanned over there just getting back from Florida where you were attending the owners meeting.
Yes, down there for the first 3 days of this week. And you can't tell anybody you had a bad time in Palm Springs and at the Breakers, one of the nicest, I don't know, 5-star, 10-star hotels, resorts going. But in truth, it was funny. People like your good friend Ozzie Newsome, a former teammate, the Hall of Famer, and a guy we'll hear on this show, but of course, the general manager of the Ravens, general managers, coaches, owners, they did legitimately spent a lot of time indoors, behind closed doors, I mean away from the sun, while a lot of the spouses and families and such were out in, near the palm trees and by the ocean and by the cabanas around the pool and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, you know those wives. They all they do is they lay around, they play tennis all day, and they get a chance to see each other. But you're right. It's just a really nice time for them to get together and be with the families and be with their friends. But also, I was kidding with you because a lot of people may think, you know, it's just a fun trip for you, but it's actually work when you're out there.
It, legitimately, there was a lot of stuff going on, too, and you brought that up about just what was happening in the way of work. I would say my biggest takeaway was the discussion about the Saints' punishment for the bounties, and particularly, of course, Sean Payton, and he did show up at the meetings, was visible briefly to the media in the lobby area. He didn't do the whole coaches, the NFC coaches breakfast thing on Wednesday as his fellow NFC coaches did. But he did address his situation. But my takeaway from other club people there, Hanford, the response I got was they were genuinely appalled by this. That they, I think they felt the, you know, the integrity of the game has been threatened, and it seemed like the mission of the commissioner and others there to try to reel it back in.
Well, yeah, I would just love to be a fly on the wall behind closed doors in those meetings because, you know, obviously the commissioner spoke on that topic, but also the other owners, I'm sure, had a chance to weigh in and speak their mind. And, you know, in that owners meeting, there's a lot of owners. You got Jerry Jones, the Rooneys, you got you name it, they are there. But, I thought it was interesting also, coming out of there, a lot of the talk, who is going to coach the Saints, because you talked about Sean Payton being there and his suspension is not kicked in yet. But a lot of talk, everybody is talking about the big tuna, Bill Parcells, maybe taking over that football team. And I thought it was an interesting comment that came out from him saying he had not been asked, but if he were, he would consider it. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that whole football team. But yeah, the fines were steep, and the commissioner came down hard, and he came down really hard on the Saints.
So can you see how this could play out in the sense of truly having a lingering effect? And again, I like hearing it from the perspective of a guy who played defense, the contact position, where you had, I know, a lot of different thoughts running through your head when you would go up against another player and try to separate him from the ball or put him on the ground or whatever your assignment was at that particular time, whatever your intent was at that time, and that you are a human being and there are personal grudges that can go back and forth in this game, and you have coaches who have their feelings about other teams and coaches and key players. Do you think this brings that sea change? Do you think this concern is real about the integrity of the game? I sensed it just in a conversational sense. Are we going to see tangible differences on field from this?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm an old school guy. I mean, I'm an old school guy, and what I mean by that, I grew up watching the game and trying to play the game the way guys like Jack Tatum, Jack Lambert, guys of that nature played this football game. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about hard hitting, but I also want to stress, I mean good, clean hard hitting, nothing illegal, nothing dirty, nothing where you intentionally trying to take a player out or in a player's career. I don't think there's any place in the game for that. I say that to say this. I still think the game today is a little soft. I mean, I really do, because that's why we play this game. Football is a contact sport, and we play it to hit you, and we play it to hit you hard. But again, we don't want to end anyone's career. We don't want to hurt anybody. We just want to hit you, and I mean, that's what it's all about. Because I got a kick out of, Vic, I have to say this, I really got a kick out of when I hit a wide receiver, and I could just hear him grunting a little bit, like, you know, you know what would happen? That wide receiver would come back to the next play. I knew I better have my head ready, because he's gonna come back and try to hit me back or something. Sure. So, but it was nothing. I don't think I ever had to worry about one of those guys coming intentionally trying to take me out illegal or anything like that. They just wanted to show me that they're going to give me a good, clean, hard hit back.
Best of your recollection, were you ever the recipient of what you thought was the intentional try to hurt you hit to get you out of a game?
No, I never. I don't think so. Okay. I don't think anything like that ever happened to me from a player and I. And I never did it to anyone else, because I don't think there's any place in the game for that. But I do agree with the commissioner about the integrity of the game. I mean, that has to stay in place. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So I don't think there's any place in today's game for any illegal. And I've stated this before, for any illegal or hits where you're intentionally trying to take another player out or end another player's career.
A former NFL player that I know who played for Greg Williams, told me he was stunned in the first meeting with Greg as his defensive coordinator in one of Greg's coaching stops prior to his joining the Rams, when he laid out this whole thing, this bounty type of talk. And the kid just didn't know what to think of it. To me, he's a kid, but he said his initial feeling was he was conflicted, because he said, I've never been wired to do this. I'm out there to try to play and compete. And he said his concern was exactly what you said. I go do this to a guy, it's going to come back and haunt me.
Well, and I'm a little shocked that you have a coach. You know, coaches have enough to worry about. I mean, and what I mean by have enough to worry about, trying to come up with the right game plan, a smart, good game plan, trying to come up with the correct scheme in order to stop the, if you're a defensive coach, trying to stop the opposing offense.
Right.
And to have time to sit down and design a bounty, and I mean, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have felt the same way. I mean, I could maybe a couple of players getting together and say, hey, you know, let's get together, let's take this, you know, something. But nothing to the extent of you have a whole
highly organized.
I think that's unbelievable and mind-boggling to me also.
Hanford Dixon joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Talk some Browns, Hanford, the draft front and center as a topic. This team clearly focused on that now, looking like free agency shopping has come to a close for the Browns. And you look at the discussion about what they might do at 4, what they might do at 22, and this week, two of the names that were prominent in workouts, campus workouts, Trent Richardson, Alabama running back, and Ryan Tannehill, quarterback, Texas A&M, two names that are often put to the Browns at one of those two spots or one of those spots. And I think when you break that down, first of all, the 4 pick to me looks fairly it's pretty much like if I take a cluster of names, you put add Justin Blackmon to that list with Richardson, throw Morris Claiborne on that list, the cornerback from LSU, maybe it's Matt Khalil, the offensive tackle from USC. You're talking about some real prime premium players that you could get there. You're not going to be sorry, I don't think, with any one of them. And I include the corner on that list, even though the overwhelming popular opinion is Brown's got to go offensive for it.
Well, you missed a name. Tannehill.
I mentioned him. At 4, maybe.
Right, that's the big question I was going to have for you. You're not
Do I want to put him up that high? Yeah.
Well, you know, Vic, I don't want to put him up that high. You don't want to put him up that high. But, you know, his name now is starting to surface right now as being that guy.
He's talented. He's athletic. But you know what I see? I see a guy who's just he'll do some things that just show you he hasn't played enough.
Right.
And Mike Sherman's a heck of a coach who guides him. But he'll make decisions on the field that you scratch your head. But that's the type of decision you expect a young kid who hasn't played enough to make.
Well, and you're right. I mean, obviously the kid really helped himself. He really helped himself in his workout. My understanding was not there, but from everyone that was there, he had an excellent workout. I think he completed 65 out of 68 passes, and two of those were dropped. And again, but you come back, he's only played 19 games. I think it was a total of 19 games he's played, but everybody seems to think that he's moving up the ladders for the draft. Now, if he doesn't go in that first four pick, my understanding, Miami's standing right there at number 8 and possibly going to take this kid. And, of course, you also have a couple other teams that are waiting maybe to take him. But another guy who possibly we may take, obviously, is the running back, talking about Trent Richardson out of Alabama, who is another question mark on him is he's had some surgeries.
He looked good in that workout.
Looked good in the workout. Ran a 4.45, but this kid, we all know his speed is somewhere in the 4.3s. I mean, he could easily get there. Big back, powerful back. Can catch the ball coming out of the backfield, and we know that he can throw the football. And he is on a mission. He's on a mission right now to show everybody that he, you know, because running backs in the draft have been dropping, and they've been going later in the first round. So Vic, we have to take the best available player. And I think if we stay in the fourth spot, it's either, I think, and nobody knows this, of course, but the guys in that draft room.
Right.
I think it's either going to be Richardson. It's either going to be, Blackman. If it's not, Blackman. And, of course, the cornerback that you talk about,
Claiborne.
Morris Claiborne.
You put that one on the table, Mr. Cornerback. I think a case can be made because, again, there will be we can hear it now, the screeching that, again, offensively challenged football team takes a corner with the top 10, and this team that had a top 10 defense. I mean, is this needed? Well, the answer to me is yes, that's a position of need. No one's going to argue the need there, but the timing of it. But my thinking is these guys are rare. They only come along so often, and you get a chance to get one. By extension, you could be helping your offense by helping your defense, by putting that lockdown guy there, by limiting the chances or getting offenses off the field much quicker and maybe taking some pressure off of your offense.
Well, I agree with you. And for a long time, the way everybody's been saying you win Super Bowl is with a great defense. I mean, you go back to the Bears and that great defense that they had. Obviously, the offense wasn't too bad with Walter Payton and company, too.
But it was all about the defense.
But Clay, Morris is a phenomenal, phenomenal cornerback. I've watched him work out. He has great hands. Change of direction is just unbelievable. And the kid's technique is just there. I mean, I think he is whatever team gets him is just going to have a fine, fine corner. And I think – if you bring him in here, he will make Joe Hayden better because I'm telling you, this kid is going to come in here and he's going to demand respect. Joe Hayden is going to demand. It's sort of like when we brought Minifield in and I was on the other corner. I mean, I'm saying, hey, let's go. We got two guys, but those two guys, the competition is going to be a lot between them, but friendly competition between them. So, we can go. There's a lot of different ways we can go with that number fourth pick, but I have a lot. Again, I've said it. I have a lot of confidence in those guys that they're going to do the right thing. And again, I think this is going to be the year. You can say what you want to say. This is going to be the year that the Browns show that improvement.
Well, a month and counting, and we've still got a whole lot we can talk about with this draft, and we will. We'll squeeze this thing dry. All right, great stuff, Hanford. Thank you so much.
You got it, partner.
He is Hanford Dixon, the top dog, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. He's breaking the equipment, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.